little bit out of order to keep the theme so consistent. So first of all, yesterday we started talking about this idea of Kol Omer Dover B'Shem Omro, and just to put that in a framework and to finish that point off, there's a lot of beautiful Divrei Torah said about this. Some we mentioned yesterday, and many very nice thoughts. We won't focus so much today on the drush, but just on some of the halachic aspects. As we started to discuss yesterday, the question of the impact of the statement, what does it mean? It's stated here as a maila, as something that can bring redemption to the world. One could state it more strongly. One could state it as an obligation, as a prohibition to not do so. Is it some type of gezel? Clearly, Chazal are very makbid on it throughout all of Shas. We see extraordinary efforts to track attribution. And here, this statement, which is appropriately in the context of Purim, so what exactly is its halachic impact? And yesterday we raised the question that we could see this in the context of two different concerns. That on the one hand, it might be something that we owe to the author of the statement. Right? Either that we don't want to steal the vort from him, or maybe the vort is not stealable, but we don't want to steal the credit from him. Or maybe we don't want to cause machlokas by interfering with these things. We considered all those possibilities. And we noted that there is a source that Medrash quotes. Magen Avraham refers to a mysterious Gemara Nedarim, one of the many ironies here, because here's a misattribution, because it's not apparently in the Gemara Nedarim, but the idea that there's some kind of a lav, the lav here being from Mishlei, of Altigzol Dal, it shouldn't rob a poor person. So that brought up the question of, is this some kind of a theft? Is this some kind of stealing from the Baal HaMaimer? Or alternatively, maybe it's not about him so much, maybe it's about you, that your academic integrity, are you passing yourself off as the author of something that you really aren't? And is that an issue of Gnevis Das? So just to go through a little bit some of the points as this is discussed. So the Chemdes Tzvi has a tshuva about this. It's from Moshe Dov Wolner, Chelik Gimel of his tshuvas, where he notes that from this medrash and the citation from Mishlei, you see a couple things. You see that the concept of gezel seems to be relevant even to Divrei Torah, which you could go either way on. You know, it's interesting, we know that Chazal emphasized that Divrei Torah is referred to as a morasha, as a legacy for all of us, as an inheritance, although we always hear the idea that it's not just a yerusha, something that we receive, but a morasha, something we have a responsibility to manage and to pass on. So on the one hand, that seems to suggest it's all ours. No one else can tell us what we can and can't do. On the other hand, it gives it kind of property recognition. And therefore, the logic can go in both ways. But as the Chemdes Tzvi points out, we see that apparently it is something which does have this protected status, and it doesn't seem to, despite this Morasha phrasing, it seems to remain in the property of the Baal HaMaimer even after the Baal HaMaimer is no longer alive. We don't believe, it's not like other types of property that when the owner dies, so then the Yorshim get it. Here, somebody's vort, it's his to be attributed to him for all of eternity. In fact, the Gemara in Yevamos, I didn't put this on the list, but the Gemara in Yevamos shows particular kpeda that when somebody has an idea, you should quote it in their name, because when they are quoted, says the Gemara, Sifsosav Dovos Bekever, it's like his lips are talking even when he's in the grave. It's a big schus for him, and therefore we should go out of our way to quote and to attribute the citations to people who are no longer alive. So it's a unique kind of ownership. The Sefer Chassidim, the Chemdes Tzvi quotes also from the Sefer Chassidim, it's in Tav Kuf Lamed, that the Sefer Chassidim always has interesting things to say. So he quotes there an idea that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals to you Torah, and you don't share that Torah, so then you could also be considered as if you are stealing it. The Sefer Chasidim. What's his idea? So there, it's a really a fascinating idea that you could be considered stealing Divrei Torah, even Divrei Torah that are your own Chidushim. But if you don't carry out your responsibility of sharing them with the world, there's some level of stealing in that sense. So that's a really fascinating idea. In general, so there is a discussion in the literature, the Tshuvas Machane Chaim, the Maharan Shik, and others, to what extent we would use the term Gezel for Divrei Torah. The Machane Chaim talks about Tasagas Gvul, I think I alluded to yesterday. He talks about if you have a Shochet who gets caught attributing Divrei Torah of others to himself, it's a Shechita still kosher, that also keeps it into a Chulin topic. So there's a Shechita still kosher if he acts this way. And some of the later Svarim say, well, why are you only looking at that? We should look at this idea that maybe Davar B'Shem Omro, apparently there's an issue of Gazel. So there's also a long truth about this in the Afarkat. Yeah, sorry.
A bit of a stretch, but I'm just wondering, I know that we touched upon it a lot last year, also in Yom Adiyom, but if, you know, according to the different Shittas that say that you can be Mekayim, Mishloach Manos, with the Torah, is that at all a precept for Torah being a tangible thing? Like, if it counts for Mishloach Manos, maybe it also counts as something that can be stolen.
Hard to see it necessarily relating. The premise of accounting for Shalach Manas is that if you assume there are two angles to consider it. The angle which is really considered is that if you assume the purpose of Shalach Manas is to create bonds of friendship, so what better way to create bonds of friendship than through gladdening people's souls with the Divrei Torah?
So maybe if the purpose behind Mr. Gezel is
to not sadden,
you know,
people?
A societal thing like we sort of saw by the Isser of Ezekiel. We understood that maybe certain Dinim bin Adam Lechaviro are just about the societal impact that they're engendering. So maybe if stealing would be negating that.
So then I would say you're 100% right, that it is a stretch. Yeah, no, it definitely is a circular stretch. But, you know, in the spirit of, I mean, you're right on the other point also, that in the Yom Adiyom, in the spirit of Purim a little bit. I mean, it requires going to the real penis of the idea and expanding it very broadly and seeing it in a hashkafic core, which not necessarily in a hafuch, but seeing it in a very, very broad core level. So that's very nice.
I'll say it over my name.
No, also we'll get to that also. Okay, so that's you know, I mean, it's got, you know, definitely an angle to it. This is definitely So and that's something to think about. The Afarkasta Daanya was Reb David Sperber. He's the grandfather of Professor Daniel Sperber. So in the Tshuva of Afarkasta Daanya, he's got a long tshuva about this, and he makes a couple points. He says, first of all, he thinks that Mechila doesn't help. This is a point we alluded to yesterday, right? What if the Baal HaMaimer says, I don't care, you can take my vort and you can do whatever you want with it. So then he says, doesn't make a difference because you still have the Gnevis Das problem, that if you're passing it off as your own, so then that's all well and good as far as the Baal HaMaimer, but what about the academic integrity issue? This is a fascinating thing about contemporary culture, because I talk about this sometimes in some of my Sims classes, because we have a very delicate balance, and especially society gets very inconsistent about this in terms of what they will accept in terms of plagiarism and in terms of honesty, really, on this issue, because if I would pass off somebody's work as my own, even if I have their permission, so then that would be misrepresentation. But in certain fields, it's accepted. So if the President of the United States, I'm not referring to this one, so any President of the United States has speechwriters, and other people writing their words for them who are paid to do that. And comedians have joke writers, and so they're not makbid because they get paid, and that's the job, and that's the understanding. But l'maisa, the politician or the comedian is passing off somebody else's words as their own. You'd think it should be a gnevas das issue. So why isn't it? So presumably the svara is because either everyone knows, even though it's usually not focused on at all, or because you assume, well, you're not really electing the president because of his oratory, you're electing him because of his policies, and he just used other people to articulate the policies. But neither of those is so absolutely compelling, because first of all, people tend to forget that there are other people writing the words. It's not something that really gets too much focus. And also, it's not really the case that presidents are not scoring points based on their oratory. So it really all seems to be a matter of convention, what we're okay with and what we're not okay with. And people write biographies and they have ghostwriters, or they write other things like that and they have ghostwriters. And again, the svara seems to be, well, because it's not like literature where you're impressed by the style. You're really reading the biography because you're impressed by the person's life. So the fact that you have somebody else compose the sentences and arrange the paragraphs, you know, that's not something that you're really focused on. Although there's a shift there also, because nowadays it's much more common that there's usually some acknowledgement of whoever is helping to do the writing. It used to be there wouldn't be at all. Now it's in tiny print on the cover, but at least there's something. So there's a lot to do with convention there, just in terms of what people will accept and what they won't accept. It's not so absolute as far as the understandings of what is considered to be acceptable representation and what isn't. So in any event, so here, if the guy says I'm ochel, the guy says okay, you can take my divrei Torah. So is that okay or is it not okay? So, in terms of the gnevas das, you have to figure out whether that's going to still be the case. Is there still going to be a misrepresentation, even if the Baal HaMaimer is okay with it? But Afar Kastani Dani goes on to say that what about the Gula Olam? So, isn't that a concern? Who's going to be mochel on the Gula? I mentioned yesterday also in terms of standards. So nowadays there's a chiddush also. You never heard in earlier generations of a concern of self-plagiarism. That's a new chiddush in academic integrity or in journalistic integrity, that somebody got in big trouble a few years ago for plagiarizing himself, for publishing things that he had published before, which was a real chiddush. So, you know, here, the Sefer Chassidim, that the Chaim Des Tzvi was saying that you could get in trouble for stealing your own Torah. What he meant was, in a different way, he meant was that the Torah that you're holding back, that was revealed to you, that you're not sharing with the world, is a different way of stealing your own Torah, so to speak. So it's, again, a lot of very surprising ideas, perhaps. The Chaim Des Tzvi has a few, and the Afar Kasta D'Ani has a few other interesting ideas that he advances about this whole concept. He also talks about why is it, so here I guess it goes a little bit back into the Drush Room realm a little bit, he says, why is it that it brings the Geula? So a part of why it brings the Geula is because it helps to it helps to force everyone to develop their own Divrei Torah. We have a tradition that in order for there to be a redeemed world, we need all of the chalakim of Torah to come out. And when people realize that bringing out your chalak in Torah is a source of proper kavod, that people will acknowledge you for it, because everyone else is getting acknowledged for the Torah that they create, so then they will be pushed to bring out their own Torah, which is an interesting idea. I think along similar lines, I don't know, really along different lines, but you could also say that... Here, just to add another level of irony, we keep seeing this. So there's a quote that I think was from Ronald Reagan, but may not have been. But he may have said that there's no limit to what you can accomplish if you're willing to give somebody else the credit. The point being that a lot of what gets in the way of our being able to accomplish things is that we are fighting for credit and we're worried that somebody else will get all the glory, so it gets in the way of actually doing things. So you want to bring Geula Le'olam, so the people who aren't concerned that somebody else is going to get the covet, those are the people who are actually successful in bringing about a redemption. So that's also a part of it. People who are focused on actual results and not whether they'll get the award or not, that's a big step in what's going to bring Geula to the world. One more point from the Afar Kasta D'Ania, he also points out that you might think that what happens if you just take somebody else's vort and you add a little bit? So then does that, you konet b'shvach kli, essentially. But he uses a different halachic mashal. He says, is that mevatel, the first part, so then can you throw away the original author and just take over? So he rejects that for a number of reasons. But he says, divrei Torah, davar chashuv, and davar hamaimid, and it's not batel, again, to give some chulin references that we're not up to yet, but that the divrei Torah is not going to be batel, and it's not going to get thrown out just because you added your own thoughts on top of it. Still have to properly acknowledge. So far, so good. Okay, so just to get into a very difficult topic for a second, a controversial topic. So in terms of properly acknowledge and not properly acknowledge, so what about the opposite? So what about saying something that in somebody else's name that they didn't say? So, is that better or worse or nowhere? So, what would you think about that? So, it would seem to be sheker, an objectionable sheker. And I would say, as a matter of policy, you should definitely avoid doing this. The problem is there are some sources that seem to give some license for this. Once again, it's another level of irony, another possible misattribution, but there is a source that's attributed to many different Gedolim. You know, might as well be Rav Soloveitchik. He's often given such quotes that he said, I don't mind if you take things that I say and say them in your name, as long as you don't take the things that you say and say them in my name. So is that better? Which one would you prefer? So saying something in the name of a Gadol that didn't actually say it. So one would think that that is sheker and highly problematic. And again, as a matter of policy, I would highly recommend against it because it would both be dishonest and, at least in spirit, and it would be disastrous for the halachic system to have that going around. But there does seem to be some support for it because there's a Gemara in Pesachim that has a strange formulation which was subject to a machlokas, had to read it. But there is one reading of a Gemara in Pesachim that sounds like if a person wants to have his point accepted, he should be tolit bilan gadol. He should hang it on a big tree, which sounds like it means that a way to get his point across is to attribute it to somebody of great stature. Does that mean that it's legitimate to do so or it's a good idea? I'm not so sure it means that, but there are those who read it that way. And it's quoted, maybe you got a chance to see, because it's essentially on your list, it's quoted in that catch-all Magen Avraham, that Magen Avraham, in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, where he has all of these forgotten halachos, so he has that idea there also. Again, as a matter of practical halacha, it would highly be hesitant to ever recommend doing that, but there is some discussion about it, and it's also going to be Daf Yomi, and so it's going to be discussion of Daf Yomi another day or two. What's today's Daf? Today is around Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, we have to Lamed Ches around there. So around Daf Mem Gimel, there is a Gemara that says that Rav Papa did something which seemed like it was against the received halacha in Hilchos Brachos, and then when they asked him about it, so he said, well, that's what I heard, that the Rava had said the halacha was that way. And then the Gemara says, but it wasn't true. He just said that in order to get out of an awkward situation. And Rashi explains it that way, that it wasn't really the case, but he was embarrassed because it was against the psak, so he said it in his name, in Rav's name, in order to save the situation. So Tosfos has a different gears than the Gemara, but there is a whole discussion about that. Is that permissible, first of all, to say something not true in order to save yourself from embarrassment? But also the halachic implications to say an incorrect halacha is highly problematic. So there are some who read that Gemara to say, and they saw that Rabbi Yoshev in his Shiurim on Brachos, he has this discussion over there, that maybe he was actually, if Papa was sure that this was the din, he felt that this was the correct ruling, and therefore he felt he was entitled to associate it with his Rebbe. And again, you know, that's understandably difficult psak to accept, difficult approach to accept, but that's the question of how you read that Gemara Pesach and whether or not that is an approach that you're comfortable with. But again, you know, midinei sheker, it's one thing, but midinei public policy, and as far as what that would do to the overall halachic system, it's very, very hard, especially nowadays, to say that that's a wise approach, even if theoretically it's a sugya to discuss. But that's probably the other half of our Gemara over here. Omer davar b'shem omro, things that to be makbid to attribute correctly in both directions. There are some who point out, my friend Rabbi David Gottlieb was visiting with me yesterday, so he has a nice series on Wayu Torah about all the Kenyanei Torah, all the different attributes of Kenyanei Torah that are listed in the Mishnah. So he has a lot of nice Divrei Torah about this idea. I don't think I mentioned any of that, but one thing I think he did mention, maybe one or two mentioned, but one thing he did mention is that maybe the point is that you bring Geula to the world, that it's just a midah of accuracy, like to be a careful scholar, to be very precise in how you talk, and to attribute things carefully, both what was said and what wasn't said, is a sign of success in general, and therefore it's something to pay careful attention to. Okay, so far so good? Okay, so with that, so back into the Basa B'Chalav sugyas.